2020 has been full of unprecedented events, and here's another one we're going to talk about on today's Hot Zone.
This is the Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hey folks, I'm Chuck Holton, and I've been really enjoying the last week here at my farm in West Virginia, just staying away from all of the mess all over the world. We're seeing protests literally circle the globe about George Floyd and police violence and racial inequality and et cetera, et cetera. And to tell you the truth, you're probably sick of it. I'm sick of it. So let's talk about something a little bit nicer. We just passed on Saturday the 76th anniversary of D-Day. And, you know, one thing it just brings to mind is that when you contrast the self-absorbed, self-important millennials, the little pajama boy weenies who are out there protesting in the streets right now, rioting, let's say, destroying the work of other men's hands, destroying businesses, taking what they can get, because the police are standing down and just giving up, basically, in many cases. What we saw 76 years ago on the shores of Normandy, France, was just the opposite. It was men giving of themselves to take away evil from the world. Instead of adding to the evil in the world, they were sacrificing, in many cases, their lives to take evil out of the world. That's what men do. And so let's talk about that today. Here's a little piece I did several years ago about Normandy. Check this out.
For four long years, much of Europe had been under a terrible shadow. Free nations had fallen. Jews cried out in the camps. Millions cried out for liberation. Europe was enslaved and the world prayed for its rescue. Here in Normandy, the rescue began. Here, the Allies stood and fought against tyranny in a giant undertaking unparalleled in human history.
65 years ago, in the English Channel behind me, there were hundreds of ships and thousands of soldiers preparing to come ashore to liberate Europe from Nazi Germany. Over 9,000 of those brave Americans are still here today, and their monuments serve as a poignant reminder of the incredible cost of freedom.
On that day, the air hung thick with smoke, and the seas ran red with the blood of heroes. Today, the only reminders are the crumbling and broken German gun batteries looking out over the beaches where that great battle raged.
The job of taking out the coastal battery defense guns that guarded Point de Hoc fell to the 2nd Ranger Battalion. The Germans considered this place impenetrable because there's 120-foot cliffs all the way around, straight down to the water.
The Rangers looked up and saw the enemy soldiers at the edge of the cliffs shooting down at them with machine guns and throwing grenades. And the American Rangers began to climb. They shot rope ladders over the face of these cliffs and began to pull themselves up. When one Ranger fell, another would take his place. They climbed, shot back, and held their footing.
The Rangers climbed those cliffs under withering fire and took over 50% casualties, but still accomplished the mission. Only when they reached the gun emplacements, they found them empty.
A memorial ceremony is being held this year at the U.S. Cemetery overlooking Omaha Beach. Daniel Neese is the cemetery superintendent.
One of the great privileges that I have is to be able to greet and meet the veterans when they come back to the cemetery. To me, I'm a guardian of our war dead, and it's probably the highest honor that I could have ever earned. But right now, as it stands, I've got about 55, 56 veterans that are planning on coming back, and I just can't wait to meet these vets.
And this may be one of the last times any survivors will make the journey. With the average age of World War II vets now over 85, the men still living who witnessed this great battle are dwindling by the day. And Daniel Neese is determined to make this year's ceremony unforgettable.
You know, you meet these guys, they're heroes. You know, every one of these World War II vets, when they come into here, I don't care where they're at, they're heroes. They've all got these stories of history that just cannot be forgotten.
Here in this place, where the West held together, let us make a vow to our dead. Let us show them by our actions that we understand what they died for. Let our actions say to them, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Strengthened by their courage, heartened by their value, and borne by their memory, let us continue to stand for the ideals for which they lived and died.
So, folks, it is kind of sad that in one of the last years where we would ever have a chance to see World War II veterans show up at the D-Day Memorial Service, they couldn't come this year because of the COVID virus. And who knows how many years we'll have any of those guys left. It won't be too many.
Saturday's D-Day anniversary on the beaches of Normandy in northwestern France will be one of the loneliest remembrances ever, as the coronavirus pandemic is keeping almost everyone away, from government leaders to the frail veterans, who might not get another chance for a final farewell to their comrades who paid the ultimate sacrifice. Charles Shea was an Army medic who was in the first wave to wade ashore, dodging relentless fire on D-Day, and who's now living close to Omaha Beach where he landed. He knows of no other U.S. veterans who made the crossing this year.
Yes, well, this is a sad year because we have had always a lot of veterans on the 6th of June every year. But it is different this year because of the virus that is going around the world. Everybody has to curtail their travels. Nobody can travel anymore. But we hope to see you all again next year. We will be praying for you and hope that you will be with us next year. Thank you very much.
The 95-year-old performed a Native American ritual Friday to honor his comrades, spreading the smoke of burning white sage into the winds lashing the Normandy coast. The eerie atmosphere touches the French as well as the Americans. The son of a local mayor who saw the troops land on the beach in 1944, Remy Hardelet, knew the current crisis would cause major disruption, but hadn't quite realized how quiet it was going to be. There's usually a market in military memorabilia by the town hall, he said, that brings a huge amount of people. But today, it's sad. A mile up the beach, at the Omaha Beach Memorial Museum, Catherine Chartier shared similar feelings from behind a surgical mask. She said, it's sad, but people are very accommodating. When they arrive, they wash their hands without us reminding them, and they arrive with their masks on. The locals in this part of France have come out year after year to show their gratitude for the soldiers from the United States, Britain, Canada, and other countries who liberated them from Adolf Hitler's Nazi forces. The pandemic has wreaked havoc across the world, infecting 6.6 million people, killing almost 400,000, and devastating the world economy. It poses a particular threat to the elderly, like the few surviving D-Day veterans who are now in their late 90s or even older. It's also affected the younger generations, who turn out every year to mark the occasion. Most have been barred from traveling to the windswept coasts of Normandy.
I feel helpless because I am getting weaker and weaker, but in my mind I am still with the young men that paid the ultimate price, and I always think of them, and I always will as long as I live.
So folks, it is kind of sad that on one of the last years where we might have a chance to see actual veterans of the D-Day invasion show up at the memorial service in Normandy, France, they couldn't come this year because of the COVID virus. But we can all honor the D-Day veterans in our own way by living our lives in such a way that would make them proud, that would make their sacrifice worth it. That's what we ought to do. And so that's what I'm going to spend my time trying to do. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. We'll be back again in a couple days. I'm Chuck Holton.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.